On Christmas, we gathered together to celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior, and the angels appearing to the shepherds. On New Year's Day, God's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church celebrated the holy name of Jesus and the circumcision of our Lord Jesus, following the law of Moses as decreed by God that every male must be circumcised on the eighth day following his birth. And it's then that he was named as the angel had proclaimed, Jesus. Following that, Jesus was taken by Mary and Joseph to be presented before the Lord God himself in the temple in Jerusalem. Now remember that Bethlehem is only about 8 miles from Jerusalem, so that was not too long a trek for the Holy Family. While they were in the temple, listen to these words. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Those words are from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. God had given Simeon eyes to see a Savior as an infant, whom Simeon had prayed for his entire life, and to see him before he died. Please remember that the word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which means Messiah. It's also important to remember that the visit from the wise men, the Magi, had not yet happened. Often we get that vision from Christmas cards that they arrived on camels as the shepherds were there and worshiping, but Scripture tells us otherwise, and we're going to reflect on that this morning. In today's Holy Gospel from Matthew, chapter 2, we read of a group of men who are described as wise men. These men are often named wise men, magi, or three kings, as we sang about so beautifully this morning. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Sometime after the birth of Christ, these wise men entered Jerusalem following the star. Now, the term magi, which we let morph into wise men and kings, comes from the Greek magos, which means a magician, or an oriental astrologer, a magician, a caste of wise men specializing in astronomy, astrology, and natural science. For this reason, the King James Version refers to the magi as wise men, presumably to detract from the magician or follower of the occult that could have been drawn from the word magi. Now, many times we hear these men referred to as the three wise men. I'm sorry to tell you that there's actually no evidence to support this idea. There were three wonderful gifts that were offered, but there could have been 2, 20, or 200 wise men. Nobody really knows for sure. There are some who believe that the wise men were a group of astronomers from the Mesopotamia area. Their names appear nowhere in Scripture, but Western religious tradition named them as Melchior, the Persian scholar, Caspar, an Indian scholar, and Balthazar, an Arabian scholar. Syria, Armenia, and Eastern churches attribute other names which I couldn't even begin to pronounce, and countries of origin. But these foreign noblemen, as was the custom of visiting dignitaries, went to see the king of the region that they were visiting. They visited Herod and asked for information concerning another king. They called him the king of the Jews. That must have hit Herod right where he lived, because he had been appointed by the Romans as king of the Jews. Yet here was a newborn that was sent, in his eyes, to supplant him. There's something very important for us to understand, and that is when these men appeared to meet the Lord. They didn't find, as I mentioned before, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. In the gospel, Jesus is referred to as a child, the child. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. These visitors from the east were led miraculously to the very place where the young Jesus was. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They didn't go to the stable. They went to a house. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. There's also more evidence regarding the length of time that has passed from the birth of our Savior, found in Herod's attempt to destroy the Christ. Herod had all male children in Bethlehem who were under 2 years of age slaughtered. Matthew 2:16-18, words immediately following today's Holy Gospel, clearly state, when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Rachel, by the way, her tomb is in Bethlehem. What we have here is a vicious king bent on destroying all of these poor children. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And their reply, straight out of the prophet Micah, in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. And again those words, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel. And Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. So he sent them off to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. What a lie and what deceit. He did not want to go to worship the Lord. He wanted to annihilate him. For all of the historical good that Herod did in transforming the rebuilt temple into a beautiful site, refinishing it, and many other projects like building Masada, the mountain fortress, and other fortresses, this was a maniacal madman. He wanted to know where the king was born and foretold in God's words, Micah 5:2. You heard those words about you, Bethlehem, Ephratah. For you are small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. How can a baby who is born be from ancient times? Only God can do that. Only God himself can be that. Isn't it interesting that the Jewish leaders knew the prophecies, but they dared not go themselves to see the glory of God in this babe? Instead, we have a group of Gentiles who were willing to cross a desert, to follow a star, and to offer marvelous gifts, and to worship the child. After conferring with the scribes and the chief priests, King Herod sent these visitors off to Bethlehem to search diligently for the child, and he pretends that he wants to worship as well. The wise men go to visit the Savior. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, the gospel says, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. God leads these men with a star directly to where Jesus is. They fell down before the Lord and they worshipped him, offered him gold, incense, and myrrh. After a time of worship, God warns these men of Herod's plan to destroy the Christ child, to destroy Jesus and the family. And so what happens? The Magi not only leave, but also the Holy Family leaves. They depart another way and go to Egypt, as they were told by an angel. God was trying to show these men something special, and they were blessed to observe the Savior firsthand, in person. And today God is doing the very same thing. Like Simeon and the Magi, God wants his people to see his Son for who he is, the Savior of the world. And let me tell you, the world needs a Savior. God opened their eyes and he opened their hearts. These men fell down when they saw Jesus and they worshiped him. Unfortunately, there are many people today who see God at work all around them and actually know that it is God who's working, but they're indifferent and they just don't care. They may be navel-gazing, they may be so wrapped up in themselves. And there are many who really do believe that Jesus is the Savior and the only way to heaven, but they refuse to open their hearts. And then there are those that completely deny that Jesus is the only way. We come from that way. We walked away from that way because of that belief. We stood on the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we were not going to be manipulated to think otherwise. How absolutely tragic that people cannot open their hearts to understand who Jesus Christ is and what he brings us. And we need to pray for those who do not think that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or they think that Jesus is something else. We need to pray for their hearts to be transformed, that the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to them and change their lives and their hearts forever. Well, something else happened when these visitors made their trek to Bethlehem. They opened their treasures. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented them to Jesus. Gold and incense and myrrh. What a picture of humility for these men. No matter how many there were, they fell down and they worshipped him. And there's something that's very special about humbling yourself and bowing before Almighty God. These men humbly bowed and offered valuable, precious gifts to a young child. And Jesus was worthy to receive these gifts. They gave him gold, for he is the King of Kings. They gave him incense, or as we always refer to it as frankincense, which represents Jesus as being the high priest of high priests. And lastly, they gave him myrrh, which represented the extreme sacrifice that Jesus would make on our behalf as a remarkable act of love, dying on the cross, taking our punishment. They gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All three are very expensive gifts that they gave to this young king, and they did it willingly, humbly, and gratefully as an act of faith. There are some accounts that these men followed a star for approximately 2 years. You talk about a road trip, huh? And what a picture of faith. They had to do more than just pack a lunch. They obediently followed a light in the sky, not knowing how long the journey would be, not knowing what they would encounter along the way. They did not know exactly what they would find when they reached their destination. But regardless of what the journey held, they followed God, relying on Him. And that's exactly what we're called to do. We must rely on God. We need to be following a God-given direction, not knowing how long our journey will be, not knowing what we will encounter along the way, but we trust God. Like these wise men and Mary and Joseph, we must, as a church and as people of God, listen to the direction that God has given to us. We must follow Him. Sometimes He gives us direction, and it may not be so easy to listen, trust, and obey. But we must be like these very wise men who visited the King, and we must listen, trust, and obey Him. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.